Okay, Father, please help us because we've been stretched, but it just let it pop. There comes a point where the balloon pops. That's called rapture. So we want to pop the balloon. All right, so here we go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes. Okay. We are those that are followers of love, the way of love. For true mysticism really means to be a slave of love. It's not about ethereal knowledge or understanding how many dimensions there are. It's about becoming a love slave. For those who are bound by love truly carry his heart. And that's what creation's groaning for. So, in all that I've talked about today, in terms of the cosmos and the wonder of it, there comes a simple conclusion from being in the cosmos that you have to engage with is this, that apart from him, I can't exist there. When I was standing on that moon and he took me into space and I was looking at that, the rings of that planet, I knew I was fully alive. I had no needs. And Psalm 23 is a Melchizedek technology psalm. When the Lord is with me, I have no needs. He restores my soul so your body can regenerate. That's why we've got to stop these things, songs of distance. Because distance creates a decay pattern in the room. Because distance is the illusion of absence. Decay is the illusion of absence. So when we know we're joined to the vine, life is the natural byproduct because he is life. With you is the fountain of life. And one of the biggest truths that's going to be restored in this generation is the fact that Jesus conquered death. And we've had a bad alliance with death since the early centuries where we agreed with death and we didn't do our job, I don't believe. I believe when Jesus said the gates of death will not prevail, he commissioned us to destroy death. But instead, people brought up an alliance with death. And they started to believe doctrines of death, such as, when I die, I'll go to heaven. That empowered death to function in their DNA, because they gave it a place of honor. And what you honor will stick to you. What you honor will multiply. What the eye hooks into multiplies. And then we added doctrine and doctrine of death, like, you can't talk to angels. That's worshiping them. And then you say, oh, but if I die, can I talk to them? They'll be, yeah, of course you can. So you're saying death sanctified me and sanctified the angels. And then you realize the logic's all wrong because when you say let it be on earth as it is in heaven, were we praying for a version of heaven that had death in it to come on earth? Then why are we surprised by life? Because surely God's answer in 2,000 years of prayer where we said let it be on earth as it is in heaven, and heaven is full of life. You know, it's true, isn't it, Mike, that every blade of grass... living. And we're praying for it to progressively come on earth, which means life is progressively coming on earth, which is why lifespans since the 1800s have been shooting up. Through most of history, 40 would be a good age. The average age was around 36 that you died at. Anyone in their 40s was doing well. Now we'll be saying anyone in hitting 200 will be doing well. You know, the scientists that are doing genetic technology and the telomeres and NAD plus and all these other new technologies, they say teenagers around today could live to 250. I said to Josh, you could live to 250. What kind of life are you going to live? I can tell you now that it's going to change the way we do things, because if you're around for 250 years, you're going to want that house to look beautiful in 250 years. You're going to want things to remain and look beautiful. Because when people build them with these short mindsets, but we're going to go back to like they did with the cathedrals where they built things to last. And we're going to build things to last and you're going to be around to see it. There's a realm of life coming upon the earth on everyone. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Isaiah saw this day and he said, there's a day coming where if you die at 100, they'll say, oh, you died at a baby's age. So in baby's age will be 100. So what will be an adult's age? And when will you qualify to drive a car? Where we're going, we don't need roads. So heaven is unapologetically challenging our fundamental understanding of health, energy, lifespan, and our relationship with death. Could I just give you a clue, right? And some of you know this, but John 10:10, what did I say 10 was? So we're talking about massive realm of government just in the mathematics of this verse. Government upon government. What does he say? Well, I'm just going to give you clues, right? Because we... Bad. Some of you know this. Satan. Bad. Satan came to kill, steal, destroy. Okay, just to let you know, that's the stuff we're meant to be getting rid of. Not saying, oh, when I die, I'll go to heaven. And when I grow old, I'll do this. Because Jesus said, good. Jesus, oh, so nice, Jesus, I came that you might enjoy life and life in abundance. A dance, it's got a dance in it. A bun dance. Twerking for Jesus. So, yeah, wow, bun dance. Do you do bun dance? You do, yeah. I'm trying not to imagine that. This is a bun dance. Oh, okay. The bread of life, that's nice. Okay, let's land this today. So the latter glory of his house, what's his house? Your body will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give the ultimate peace and prosperity, declares the Lord of hosts. So you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means the body has value. And he's going to pour out his spirit on flesh. Because it's the flesh that needs the transfiguration, because your mind has been renewed in knowledge according to the blueprint of Jesus. And your spirit is one spirit with him. So it's your body that needs to join what's already happening. And if we're talking about the restoration of all things, we are talking about the restoration of the human genome. And this is what I was shown by Enoch, is that we will repair the desolation of generations. And whenever it talks about generations, it's talking about genetics. So we know on the timeline that you will be called repairer of the breach. You will be called those who stand in the gap to repair cities. And the desolation of genetics, which means we're going to start to recalibrate the human body. It's already happening with technology. It says in Hosea 3:5, they will come with awe to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. And in those days, they will come trembling with awe. Why would we tremble with awe? Because our bodies have been recalibrated. And that's what happened. And some of you heard me say this. I really believe that Elvis landed something so powerful into creation, because he would release music and it doesn't make sense. Think about it. Everyone would scream. If that's not an anointing, I don't know what is. There's a whole lot of shaking. Going on. Why would like that create Because he was administering out of heaven, landing something out of heaven to do with frequency, energy, and vibration that made the human body scream and then released gateways of trauma that had subdued the consciousness. And then there was a renaissance and an explosion of freedom and creativity and technology. Which changed the generation. Yeah, did people abuse freedom? But that's what happens when you're babies. So there is sound and energy and vibration that's coming through music that can create regeneration and recalibration of your DNA. And there's a sound that brings life. So it says this in 2 Timothy 1:10. I never heard this taught on when I was a kid. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all of its effects in our lives, and has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. You liked that, didn't you? Well, I've looked at all the root words. Death is thanatos. And it says that he obliterated death. That word katageo means he rendered it entirely useless and destroyed death. He didn't just tolerate death. He destroyed death. And he brought perpetuity, ongoing strength and life through the gospel, the happy message. See, misery and law produces death. The law produces death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life. Life without end. See, this is the problem. We are so hyper-law. We're always talking about hyper-grace. Worry about hyper-grace. No. Worry about hyper-law and legalism because it produces death. Because Paul said law supercharges sin and the overshadowing is death. For the spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, this is the mystery, and I've never understood this, is that all the scripture lumps death and sin together. They're buddies, right? It says, eat of this tree, sin, and you'll die. And Paul said that the law, this is what he says in Romans, is the foundation for a tree of sin. Sin and the overshadowing that it produces is death. The law of sin and death. Now, every Christian we know believes that God obliterated the law. You are not doing the 614 mitzvahs, or whatever the number is, are you? You're not doing them. So we all believe that law was broken, and then we believe that he destroyed the sin nature. I was co-crucified together with Christ, and he took your fallen nature and gave you a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. So we all preach this, but we let that stay in place. And that is the battle for this generation. Is that we've had the Reformation came along and started to say we're not under law, we're under grace. So it started to cancel that out, grace. The law of the spirit of life in Jesus Christ. So there's a law called the spirit of life. Has set me free from the law of sin and death. See, where death has cast a shadow, they have seen a great light. There's a great light coming in the body of Christ. Because how can we restore all things if we are outputting death? You've got to think about where this conference is going, what it's actually saying to you. It's saying, don't die. But listen, there is glory on death, so there's no condemnation. And if we die, we die, right? We die in the Lord. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. Where, O death, is its sting? We're not going to get into a condemnation culture because then that brings us under death again. If we die in glory. We go into glory. But there are those that are going to say, well, death, those who walk through the valley of the shadow, it becomes a shadow where they fear no evil, because this is the order of Melchizedek, this is the order of Elijah, this is the order of Enoch, this is the order of Nancy. Where there's energy, as a minimum, we're going for energy. As a minimum, we're going for energeo, that we start to go beyond where Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you may enjoy life and have life in abundance till it overflows. And the word abundance is perisos. It's perisos. His plan for you is a cup running over. We are the place of the overflow. This is the treasure he wants you to carry, life. We are the place of the overflow. This is the treasure he wants you to carry, life. This is the treasure you carry, life. I came that you might have life. I came that you be the treasure house of life. That you, all creations groaning for what? To enter the freedom of life, which frees them from death and decay. I've been in conferences where they blow a shofar and wave a flag, and they say, this is the freedom of the sons of God. And I love shofars, I love flags, but that's not what the verse said. It said to free it from death and decay. The true freedom we're looking for, if we believe in the manifestation of the sons of God, we are believing that death is going to get a kick in ways we've never imagined. It means animals are going to be liberated. It means, you know, a lion will eat straw. Someone's going to overshadow it one day and go, whoa, and it'll change the genetic structure so it doesn't eat prey. Because it was never meant to. And, you know, you're going to go to Texas and find a meat-eating man and go, whoa, and they'll become a vegetarian. Because if you're bringing life into creation, how can you just go and eat things? Here come the sons of God. They're glowing with light. And then they form a barbecue. This will be hard for South Africans. The biggest steaks I've ever seen are in South Africa. But there's coming a realm of life. And this was on Cuthbert and Kieran. I've got books where they used to go to people's houses, villages, and frequently people would steal the sheep and steal the chickens. And they could see that with cardiognosis. And they would raise the chickens from the dead after being cooked. They would raise lambs from the dead after being cooked. Because they say, we can't eat a stolen chicken. You imagine what's coming upon the earth. See, you have to accept, if you are believing this stuff this weekend, you have to realize we're going into days of awe and wonder. We are not going into days where you say, believe by faith. Faith is a lower substance than reality. So you can have faith. What I mean is you can have faith to believe in being a son, or it starts to manifest, and faith has done its job. It's produced reality. Faith is substance, evidence of things unseen. See, I don't need faith to have this iPad. Someone saw it in the spirit and created it, and now it's substance. See, there's a realm of substance of life. Where we're going, I'm believing for the most extraordinary signs and wonders any generation has ever seen. Life is the gospel and the logic of love. And that means life manifesting in so many ways that we're going to go into days of awe and wonder. Hosea 3:5, you will tremble at my goodness. And this is why I do not believe in a bad end times, because a bad end times empowers death and gives it a right to function in this dimension. And even though there will be troubles and trials, and maybe there will be stuff that goes on in the earth, that doesn't mean that we're not going to persevere and transform and change and move from glory to glory, strength to strength. I'm not naive. I know there are challenges, but I believe there's a dimension of life coming upon us. And even if we move into it a tiny drop, we are sending a ripple effect through time back to the next generations. Because when they pushed for speaking in tongues was rare with, you know, Charles Palm used to speak on it. And William Seymour would listen outside the door because he was a black guy and he was segregated. And he said, I want the real baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. And he pressed in for it and he prayed for 3.5 years. And the Lord, he said, Lord, what should I do? He said, pray even more. And he prayed even more. But when it broke through the membrane, it went boom through the morphogenic field, which is the corporate consciousness, which is a scientific truth. That we're connected, and you can prove it with IQ tests and other things, that when one person gets an idea, it's easier for another person. So we need to get the idea that we are about life, that the gates of Hades, the gates of death will not prevail against us, and we start to shift it. So we might pay a high price to get life on the earth right now, but the next generation won't. You know, Rachel, tell you, we've got this big trampoline in the house. It's very heavy. Normally four or five of us carry it. And every year we have a bonfire on bonfire night. Lots of people around the house and we move it. We have a lovely time. It's beautiful. It's fun. And then we leave it for a couple of months and move it back. And one day I was praying and I was so charged with energy. I was actually taking the compost out the back garden. And I was so full from the vibration of the ascension that I looked at it and I thought, I can move that. I picked it up and I pulled it back up the garden. Rachel came home. I said, honey, have you noticed the trampolines moved? I said, I moved it earlier. She was like, that's nice. Because she's used to stuff like this. But when we were at dinner, I pointed out to the kids and my teenagers, I said, look outside, guys. I moved the trampoline on my own. It took five of us to move it. I moved it myself. And I looked out later. I saw Josh sneaking out the back. My 19-year-old, 18-year-old. And he went up there and I saw him go. He didn't tell me he'd done it, but I saw the conviction. I saw the reality that he knows my physical strength, and I lifted something that takes four and five of us to carry, but I lifted it. And I lifted it with no consequences. No hernias were popping or anything. It was great. And I know that there's some great strength in me. I believe I'll lift a car. I mean, one time I was filled with energy, and a friend was in a car park and couldn't get the car out. But I couldn't grab it because it was plastic. But I thought, man, if they made handles on these. Honestly, I'm not joking. I was so full of the Spirit of God. And I've done that. I've flown to Australia. Nancy's done all this and more. You know, I love you, Nancy. You're an inspiration. But I've gone to Australia with so much energy. And I did one conference in South Africa where we did 12 sessions. But every session I was getting more energy. It doesn't make sense. And on the third day, it was literally the third day, as Nancy says, on the third day, I wasn't eating because I didn't want to live off the energy of the food because it was less than the energy of the spirit. And I'd flipped, and this has happened on many trips, where have you ever eaten food and it makes you tireder than before? That's because you're in another realm of energy and you've actually traded that energy for a lower energy. When my energy's high, you eat less and less because you're gonna impact the energy levels from living in him. In fact, sometimes I've overshadowed my food and eaten the energy of it without touching my lips because it's just energy. And it's been embarrassing when I've done that a few times in restaurants where people have been feeding me. I've overshadowed it and I said, this hasn't got enough energy for me. But Jesus, I eat you. And then the energy's gone in my body, and it's literally so full of energy, it's like I couldn't eat a thing. And sometimes I've been in restaurants, and I've had to apologize and said, sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I remember one time I was so full of energy in Canada that I wasn't eating, and they took me to this restaurant. I had one mouthful, and I was full, but I thought, out of politeness, I'll eat more. I ate more, and I crashed out of the realm I was in. See, we can break human limitations. Jesus did it. The food I have is the will of my Father. See, food is not going to sustain you in the cosmos. We're not going to go to Andromeda and find McDonald's there. It's not there. That's not food anyway. But it's not there, you know? It's all energy. When you eat food, you're eating energy. Even light is energy. Even vitamins is energy. You're eating different forms of energy, different molecular compositions. But there's a realm in him called life where in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. And the more like him you become, the less human you'll look on one level. What I mean is you may look very human, dirty, touching the poor, the broken, hugging babies, but you are surpassing human limitations. You're living in the energy flow of life. Like Catherine of Siena, she couldn't eat food. Teresa Newman, she didn't eat food for over 30 years. There are many, many saints that would do this, sleeping on minimal amount of sleep. And they're no different to us because they've got the same God as us. And the cloud of witnesses are looking at this generation saying, come on, come on, come on. And this is what happened for me when I met Enoch and I'm standing in front of him. I had to reassess what I thought humanity was like. Because I got a being that's immortal with an expanded state that's multidimensional, and I'm seeing one version of him in this dimension when he's a pillar in the house of God and he's gone out of the bubble of space and time and was or was not. And yet he did that in the old covenant because it was already done. It's always been done. This is why I don't like these times and seasons prophetic words. Because times and seasons means you come under the sun. What happens under the sun? Decay. So immediately, if I prophesy a time-bound word about your nature, not about your situation, because you may go into this job or that job. I'm not talking about actual prophecies about your situation, like you might move house. But if they say, this is the year of the door, this is this, they're limiting you in space and time. When you say this year, and you know, I don't know if you looked into this, Mike, but it's not even the right year that we're in. Even the Hebrew year is wrong. All of the years are out of alignment. So what am I saying? There's something going to happen now, and I want to propose a mystery to you. Another mystery. This is great. We're teaching on mysteries, finally. Is that John Paul Jackson, I believe, was a very special man. He was a prophet in America, and a couple of times he was taken up to what we call like the real throne room experience. Not just an ascension. I mean, he had to be shielded by God because you're dying because it's so glorious and you're physically there, right? It very rarely happens. He was taken up into there, and in a book he writes about this called The Throne Room Company, and an angel came up to him in the throne room. So I consider this high-level revelation. This isn't a subjective experience. He's in the throne room, actually there. And I trust John Paul Jackson. And an angel came up to him, and listen, this is in the introduction to The Throne Room Company book by Sean Baltz. I've never heard anyone teach on it, no one mention it, but God drew me to it, and I wanted to know what this meant. He writes this: the angel looked at me and said, the key to the next great move of God in the earth is found in the book of Romans. And in particular, chapter 4. This is what the angel said. In the throne room, contained therein is an unembraced truth that will mark and distinguish this coming move from every other move of the Spirit. So there's something in Romans 4 that the angel said, no generations understood, but will mark what happens next. So let's look at Romans 4. Talking about Abraham and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore he was accounted him for righteousness. But check out this next line. Now it was written for his sake, not for his sake alone, but that it would be imputed also to us. I'll read it again. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was also for us. Did you hear that? Because we've read this over and over again. It's the just shall live by faith. But the angel in the throne room said that in that scripture there, we've missed something that's going to be the defining mark of this next move. Life. That he was strengthened in faith, not believing that his body, as old as it was going to stay that way. This is crazy faith. Anyone over 100 here? Okay, fine. So he was believing that even though he was 100, that wasn't an excuse for God not to regenerate his body. That faith was meant to us, that we see body regenerations. Body regenerations. Body regenerations. Body regenerations. Body regenerations. Body upgrades. Body regenerations. Redeeming the years. Taking back what was stolen by the locusts. That he who was caught out will pay back sevenfold. He will pay back double. That age and death and decay is not the realm of the spirit. We are from the realm called life. I came that you might have life. I came that you might have life. I came that you might have life. Whoever believes in me will not decay. Whoever believes in me will not decay. My hope. Holy ones will not see decay. He who believes in me will have everlasting life and will not die. Perpetuity, ongoing existence. There's got to be someone that believes it. And in my notes here, because I preach this all over the world, it mentions someone called Nancy Cohen. I was with Bobby Connor at Morningstar. We spent 2 hours talking over dinner, and he told me how God regenerated his body. He had a heart attack. God regenerated his body so much that when he had 3 days of tests at the doctors, they said, you score, your inner organs score better than the Olympic rowing team that we just tested. And his inner bodies, they said they put cameras everywhere. And God gave him a new heart because he had a heart attack in Singapore. And God regenerated his body. He said, I found a secret. He said, there are many, many scriptures that say you can live as long as you want. And he told me an interesting thing. I have had operations with no anesthetic wide awake. I was like, what do you mean? He said, I found a realm where there's no pain. And he says, I don't have any anesthetic, nothing, even when I'm having surgery. And he said, it's this, may the peace of God guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He said that verse there is a key to living in the power of shalom, guarding your heart and mind, which is your body's framework. And we've got a friend, Liz Wright. Some of you might know her. She hasn't aged for like 16 years. She wasn't ill for 15 years. She's only been ill once in the last 16 years. God gave her a revelation, which he's now teaching on, that she didn't have to age. She didn't have to be sick. And I know it's challenging the very basis of what we believe, but if we can believe for angels and heavenly dimension, surely we can believe for life. If we can believe for the resurrection of the dead, we can believe that this mortal body can put on incorruption. And I don't know what it's going to look like. And I don't even know the law of life, how we're going to lay hold of it. But I think we have to learn that now. We have to say that we're breaking our addiction to death. That we're breaking up with death. We're having a nasty breakup. We're deleting their Facebook Messenger account. We're defriending them, blocking them on Twitter, and burning their record player. So we don't listen to the same old track anymore. And we chuck them out and we delete their cell phone number off our phones. And we say, I am not married to you. And this is what he says in Romans. He says, you were married to sin and death. This is the actual language he uses. I've got a whole series just on this, right? In Romans, he says, you died in Jesus so that you're no longer married to death and sin. But you are free to marry again because death frees you from marriage. So you broke up with your marriage to sin and death in Jesus. This is what the Bible says. He talks about it in Romans 5 and those chapters. And he says, you are now married. You are free to marry Christ and live in his life. So you've had a divorce through death. Death has given you your papers to go into the courtroom. So Jesus can't even return fully to the earth until with this life in the womb. It says in Genesis 18:14, I will return here to you, Sarah, which represents the church, when life emerges from her womb. So the Lord has bound himself until we start to move in life to fully manifest. It's a parable. Isaac means laughter or joy. It means the child of promise. The child of joy, the child of promise, Jesus can't come until life comes from the church. In other words, if anything's delaying him right now, it's us not engaging life. Because he can't come until Sarah's given birth to life and laughter. So we need to pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the Latin form of rain, and he will bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace unto it and grace unto it. And Bill Johnson says, today should always be greater than yesterday. Psalm 102 has got a promise for this generation that wasn't fulfilled in the past. Listen to this. This is written for a generation to come, for a people yet to be created. This is what it says. That may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, and the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. So he has said he will listen to the groaning of the prisoner to free them from death. It's in the Psalms. He says this was written for a generation far in the future. The same words Enoch used. That how I lived was written for a generation far in the future. So there's a generation now that's meant to walk in life. Let it impact you. Think about what I'm saying. This realm of ascension alters your body. You know, Nancy's been measured on a frequency, and when she goes into ascension, it's impossible. Death is a lower frequency than life. And when we engage life, when we walk in the light, it says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it's setting us free. And we're going to be the days of awe and wonder. I know I'm stretching us because we've got a genetic memory in us of war, famine, death, and shortage of food. The reason we overeat is because we're triggered by our ancestors who had a scarcity. It's got nothing to do with your consciousness now. It's a genetic memory. Because through epigenetics, we're encoded with trauma. And the memory says food is scarce, but then we live in a time where there's no scarcity. So we eat more than we need to because of genetic memory. And God wants to free us from genetic memory that's entangled into death, entangled into lack and fear. See, fear and death go hand in hand and are a false covering over us, and it's related to food and other things like that. That's why I think it's powerful breaking the hold of food off us. And we're all in the same place. So don't think, look, you're checking out who's fatter than you. We're all pretty. I'm going to do a court case on it because I realize that, you know, gluttony and all that stuff triggers in your DNA line through houses of genetics in the past. And I want to break cycles of defeat in the courts because we've been empowered to go into Zion and change the genetics. And I want to live beyond it. Mike, you don't eat much, do you? He has... You know, if you ever taken him out for a meal, you can't get him to eat. He drinks water. He has one meal a day. Okay, we're nearly there. So listen to this. There's actually a promise in Job 33 that God will make you young again. It says this: a person may be disciplined by pain while in bed, bones aching until a person loathes food and they reject a delicacy. The flesh wastes away, no longer visible. The bones, once hidden, protrude. A life approaches the pit, and every being draws near the death dealer. And he says this: surely there's a messenger for this person, a representative, a mediator in the courts, one out of 1,000, to declare one's integrity to another, so that God has compassion on that person and says, rescue this one from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The next verse says, that person's flesh is renewed like a child's. They regain their youth. CV version, our health is restored, we feel young again. GNT, their bodies will grow young and strong again. Another one, his flesh will be healthier than in his youth. It will return to the way he was when he was young. It will be rejuvenated. Rejuvenated. Rejuven. Return to juven. And that's what happened to Job. You've got to realize God didn't just heal Job. Job got regenerated. Because this is about Job. This is about Abraham. They had younger bodies. You know, Enoch, by faith, it says, did not see death. Elijah was taken up, did not see death. You know, there are different people on the earth now that are 400 years old, 800 years old. Some people believe some of David's mighty men are still on the earth. Bobby Connor said that. See, there's different realms of existence. When I was with Dr. O, he met two people in Chicago that are 200 years old, intercessors, that remain. We've had this guy appear many times, a Native Indian guy. You've seen that Native Indian guy in the spirit? So there's all these people, and there's all this thing going on, but God is crying out for a generation who will arise and shine. Okay. So what's the gross darkness that covers the earth? Death. Because remember, it says, I am the light of life. If I walk in the light, it says, with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. With you is the fountain of life. So the light that we have is called the light of life. So the arise and shine that's going to break the gross darkness is the illumination of light coming out of us. Right now, or something. For I am the bread of life. Okay, listen to this. Let's listen to Yeshua. The guys in the desert, they ate the manna from heaven, so they operated in heavenly realms, signs and wonders, but it says they died. But I am the bread of life. Whoever eats me will never die. See, he's contrasting the Old Testament and saying there's a realm greater than manna, the supernatural. We've got to get off our addiction to the signs and become the sign. Become the reality. This is the journey I'm on. I don't know how much of it I'm going to pursue, but I've pulled on it. Because when you travel all around the world on aeroplanes, you cannot live off the world around you. You can't. You can't live off the food they offer you on that plane. Okay, ending now. And then we're gonna sing Godfrey's song. He wrote a song, Kavah, based on Let's listen to the words of Messiah. Okay. I think I've got a theory I'm working on, maybe wrong, that we should follow Jesus. It's just a rough theory that we should believe Jesus. So listen to this. Oh, come on. That sucks. Let's get the vocabulary right. Death sucks. Death sucks, man. Death sucks. Nancy's got so many stories about this. She had a friend that got Wade. Was it Wayne? Yeah. He got regenerated, didn't he? At 86, you said he was still carrying suitcases. He looked young. He got his hair color back. Okay, let's go with this then. John 11. I think let's just go for what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, hang on. No, listen. This is important. He's saying there's two versions of him. He's the resurrection. I'm just going to put an R. And he's the life. I want to show you that he talks about totally different orders. One is the order of Melchizedek and one is what we've had. Listen to this. It's all, by the way, Melchizedek's throughout the Bible. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes, so B for believes, in me, though he may die. May die. Jesus doesn't seem too positive about death. So those who believe in me, I am the resurrection, may die. And though he may die, he shall live. Yay. Good news? There's a resurrection. That's brilliant. So there's no losers on this, okay? If you die, you're in glory, you're with the Lord, and you're going to be resurrected. That's brilliant. But like every scripture, there is a truth and a truth. To put it in other words, there's a thing that's true, but a thing that's truer. That's the truth. And all we've grown up with is belief for the resurrection. And we've completely missed the order of Melchizedek. Because the next part of this verse says, and whoever, wow, he's added an extra word. This doesn't make sense. It says, whoever lives and believes will never. And he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Think about this, that there's a realm where something's changed. And what is the difference between the two? The first one believes in Jesus, and that's all that we've been preached. Believe in Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in Jesus, you'll go to heaven when you die. Believe in Jesus, and you'll be resurrected. But Jesus said there's a group of people that before they even believe in, they live in him. They move in him and believe. So there's now this extra thing called this, living in Jesus. Not believing in Jesus. Living in Jesus where he is your life. See, there's a secret in Colossians. It says, when Christ is your life appears, you will appear with him. Colossians 3. See, this part here is about Jesus coming for me. This is about there's a rapture, second coming, death, bad end times. This is about He lives in me and I live in him. He's already come. I'm a new creation. The deed has been done. I was planted into his death. Now I'm planted into his life. Now life swallows up death and my body has to come in agreement with it. My spirit has to become in agreement with it because I'm repenting and being transformed by the renewing of my mind that I might prove his good, perfect and acceptable will. And I'm beginning to think like a new creation and I'm beginning to say, stuff the rules, stuff the timeline, stuff the aging, stuff it all. I believe in the power of the resurrection now, and I believe in newness of life now. And Paul said this, I tell you a mystery, a mysterion, and a mysterion is a truth that can only be accessed in a higher dimension. I tell you a mysterion, not all of you will die. I believe that scripture opened a gateway for every generation for people to skip death. And I think we're going to be surprised when we start to see the cloud riders materializing in the earth and appearing at your house. Because knock, knock, someone's coming to your house. Knock, knock, someone's coming to your door. And it's going to be an ever-living one. It's going to be a cloud rider. Who are these that ride like the clouds and like doves to their windows? Dimensional shifters are coming back to the church. There's stuff going to happen. They're already appearing. Ian Clayton's friends with a guy that's 450 years old, when they've been friends for years, the hairy guy, you know, the Maharishi of Kailash. But there are many, many more of them. I was once in a meeting and the cloud came in and 30 people stepped out of the cloud in the realm of the spirit. I was with Michelle Perry from Iris Ministries and Enoch appeared in the middle of the room right next to her and I could see him and she could see him because we'd both met him before. In fact, Enoch was the one that connected us together. Same as I met John Paul because I met Enoch. It's called social networking. This is where it goes to another level. You go in the spirit, you see one of the saints, and other people see them. They say, have you met that person? You know, John Paul invited me to the round table with all the famous prophets because he knew me in the spirit and that I'd been with Enoch. So I am the resurrection of life. He who lives in me and believes in me shall not die. For the exact life in Christ, Colossians 3:4, is now being repeated us. We are being co-revealed in the same bliss. So it's a co-revealing because he wants his resting place to be glorious. You are the house of his glory. You are his resting place. He will pour out his spirit on the house of his glory. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former because you're the house of his glory. You're the house of his glory. Your body doesn't suck. Your body is amazing. Your body is gateway technology through space and time. That's why Moses got it back. That's why some of the saints were resurrected and given their bodies back in the Bible when the cross broke it open. And many of the saints came out of the tomb so they could have full access to all these realms and walk amongst us and engage us. But they look for open hearts. And God's saying in this generation, I want to talk to you about time. I want to talk to you about space. I want to talk to you about teleportation. I want to talk to you about ascension, and I want to talk to you about life and immortality, and I want to talk to you about wisdom and understanding and unlock who you are, because you are made in his image, and his image is life. His image is light. With you is the fountain of life, and now you are the light of the world, and it's got to arise and shine and release light. And I don't care, we don't know anything, but beginning to understand that it's there is the beginning of journeying into it, because every journey starts with one step. When you say, I'm not longer on the pathway called death, but I'm on the pathway called life. And I don't care. See, the gimel, the third heaven, runs towards the delet. The delet is the poor one who says, I can do nothing. And it says, generosity runs, and the heavens run towards those who are humble and say, Lord, we've known so much about death. We've created death. We've had a covenant of death. We've agreed with death. I've said, when I die, I'll do this. When I die, I'll do that. And we, the ecclesia, permitted death in creation. We've even prophesied death. We prophesied wars. We prophesied all these things. And I say, forgive us, Lord. Divorce us, Lord, from the overshadowing, the false fathering of death and decay. And it says, you will renew my strength like that of a wild ox. It says, even the old grow tired, but those who cavar and entangle in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. And it's time... It's time for a generation who don't skip over the promises because they're so big in and they start to stop having faith in the inferior. And they start to have faith in the superior realm of my Father, that my God is love, and love, the logic of love is life. And this is why we do not see resurrections from the dead, because when we've tried to raise the dead, death has stood in the courts. And we're praying, Lord, bring them back to life. And death stands there saying, no, don't you remember? You're the people that have covenanted with me and given me permission to exist in all the earth, because you're the ecclesia. What you loose is loose. What you bind is bind. And you've loosed me on everyone and every culture and every tribe, to the point that they bury the dead round your buildings, because you have got the center of gravity in creation, and you, what you permit is loosed. What you honor is honor, and you have been the death honor people. So there's got to be a group of people that say the ecclesia are no longer those that honor death, because death is the enemy. Death is the enemy. Death is the enemy. Death of creativity, death of our beauty, death of plants, death of animals. I am talking of things that are not human. I am speaking of things that are not of this world. We'll end in it now. I know it's over time. I am not giving you a human message. Galatians 1:1, Paul said, this is not a human message. This is not a human message. So it's good that I'm not speaking to humans right now, because I'm speaking from people that are born from Zion with a new technology, who are called to restore what was lost, and nothing gets left behind. And regeneration and recompositing molecules and bringing things back as they were is God's design. That he makes the wilderness bloom. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. So we're going to do a little song. And, you know, Godfrey Birtle heard a prayer that I wrote called Kavah, Those Entangle in the Lord. And he's written a beautiful song. And I want you to engage with it, body, soul, and spirit. Let's come out right now. Think of things of death in your body right now. What are you carrying as a genetic memory of death right now? What are you carrying in your DNA that shouldn't be there, that doesn't conform to the blueprint of your design? Because we're going to step out of that now into life and trade it into his glory realm for more of him. What stuff, right now, let me ask you, what stuff would you like to come off your DNA right now? Yes, come on. Regeneration. So let's stand up. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we come boldly to you tonight. That we want to be those that live in you and then believe in you. And that means not being a slave to time, dinner time, bedtime, not being a slave. I'm saying, Lord, sleep has not got enough energy for where I'm going. Food has not got enough energy for me. And I want to live in you so I can move in you and have a new being in you and go anywhere throughout space and time to do my Father's will. So I'm coming out from under my false covering right now, like Abraham. I'm coming out from under my father and mother's genetics. I honor them, but now I honor you as my father and mother. And I come under my father's name. For I once was in another household, but now I'm in yours, whose house we are. And I say, Lord, your life is my life. Your strength is my strength. And I come out from under my name, my gender, my nationality. It can't define me. I am a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I come off from the false covering of how many years humans live for. Right now, it's coming off me. length of days, metabolism regenerated, eyes being regenerated, ears being regenerated, organs being regenerated, renewal of strength, renewal. Lord, I ask right now that those energetic structures that have tethered into demonic energy would be shattered in the name of Jesus. Oh. 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 See yourself peeling it off now. Peeling off the record and false covering of death and decay. Leaving behind the trauma. Leaving behind the fear of death, the fear of pain, the fear of lack, the fear of not having enough food. Leaving behind the fear of not having enough money, which is all the death realm. Moving into Psalm 23, I'm with you and I renew my strength and I lie down in green pastures and you restore my soul. Psalm 16, you show me the path of life. Even my body has hope. Body hope. Body hope again. Psalm 16 says, even my body has hope, for you will show me the path of life. I'm saying, body, forgive me for not including you. You are included. You are in. I was in, but you're in. You've always been in. You carry Aleph's blood. You carry the record of life. Remember who you are. Body, remember where you came from. Remember the breath. Remember Aleph's blood. Remember the way who your father is. For truly, we only had one father from the beginning, the Father of light. Body, awaken. Awaken. Coming out from under the false covering of death. Coming out from the false covering of decay. Coming out from the false timeline where death has cast its shadow. Coming out into the light, into the fountain of life, into light. Begin to move your body into light now. Into light, where it goes through my DNA, removing my trauma. Let your blood come into me now. I enter into communion, not through an act of eating the bread, but by being in communion right now, which is the reality of communion. I'm in you and you're in me. It says those who eat me will never die. They will never die. They will never die. And I eat you. You are the bread of life. You are the fountain of life. I come off earth. I come off oxygen. I come off the galactic pole. I come off the solar system. I come off the locality of the Milky Way. I do not come from the Milky Way. I do not come from this solar system. I'm born from Zion. I'm born from God. I'm defined by God. I'm in Christ. I was co-planted into your death. I have been co-crucified together with you. It says all died in you. For I am convinced the one died for all, therefore all died in him. And you tasted death not just for me, but as me. For when you died, I died. And when you rose, I rose. And we are the children of the revolution, the children of the resurrection, the children of the dawn light. And we say on behalf of this nation, the ecclesia, coming out from death into life. We are coming into life. We are going to preach life. Life into every realm. Restore what was lost. Every system, every place, every dimension. We break up with Hades. We break up with hell. We break up with death. We break up with satanic coverings and curses and powers. And we come into the record of life and immortality. We come into the record of truth. The truth will set you free. We are born from above. And we honor John Paul's testimony in the courts of heaven that the angels said that there was a hidden truth in Romans that would define this move. And we engage it now to begin to create a better world for our children. Where living to 500 is normal. Living to 1,000 is normal. That if you live to 100, you're a baby. That we'll be fresh and flourishing. The food industry will change. The chemicals will come out of the food. The chemicals, new technology being birthed now from Zion to create clean food and new solutions for longevity. New solutions for life expansion. Right now, we call the food industry into judgment. You have been of the tomb. You have been death to us. Everything you've given us is dead. And we ask you to judge it, Lord, and release the life. The new foods would be brought into creation. New technologies for foods that actually expand life, not take life. And we repent for blood sacrifice, for our God has been our stomach. And we repent for shedding innocent blood in the pursuit of eating. Lord, thank you, Father. I'm not saying, guys, you're going to stop eating meat. Hear me right. But we're coming out from that covering. We're coming out from that thinking. We're coming out from that persuasion. That we have food to eat that we know not of. I know this is a tough one. I can feel it in the spirit. The whole thing about animals. And I'm not going to put you anything on anyone here. You're free to eat meat. The Bible said that. But I'm telling you, there's an industry that if we saw how meat is prepared right now, you wouldn't eat half of it. And we come out from under that. We repent of turning a blind eye to animal suffering. We repent for turning a blind eye to where our food comes from. We repent for turning a blind eye to the chemical industry and the preservative industry and believing that we have to live off that stuff and believing how much we have to eat. The lie that we need thousands of calories a day when we don't, which shows if you eat less, you live longer. And Lord, we repent right now of our addiction. I'm including myself. My addiction to food, my addiction to fear of starvation. And we repent for that spirit of addiction that has tethered us, when, Lord, in you we can live, in you we can move, in you we can have our being, and we do not need to have for fear. We will not be slaves again to fear. Lord, we repent that the first thought we have in the moment when we wake up is, I need to eat. And we say, Lord, we're going to eat from you when we wake up. That there's going to be a new breakfast, where we feast on the Lamb. And Lord, yeah, we'll eat, but we're going to eat from a place of abundance, not fear. Lord, we just say right now, where we're going, the food cannot sustain us. Only you can sustain us. Lord, I say, let me be the last generation holding this genetic structure, my family line. Let us be the last generations perpetuating the genetic structure with trauma and death and decay, where death has cast its shadow. Lord, we hold the future generations now as ecclesia, and we birth a generation that's free from the record of it. It's free from trauma, free from death in their genomes, in their genetics. We overshadow our children and their children's children and our children's children. And we speak life. We speak the Father's blessing. We frame up that you are blessed, that you will live long life and see good days, that you will be renewed in strength and health, that the genetic tethering of decay, of heart disease, of allergies and all these other things are broken by the cross in Jesus' name. And the record of the blood speak over us now. The testimony of the blood speak over us now. This far and no further. This far and no further. We frame up a new world order, a new generation that will have life in them. Life in them. Life in them. Life in them. We speak life. We release life into this city, into this nation, into creation. Life into the nations, life into creation, life into the earth, life into the animals. Lord, may the animals regenerate. May the trees regenerate. May the trees of the field clap their hands. May life come, life come, life come, life. Life, life in my city, life in the education system, life in the NHS, life in the drugs industry. Let life judge death, let life swallow death. Energy systems, oil industry, life come and swallow up death. into my bones, into my marrow, into my blood. We bless the seed of immortality and life that's inside us. O seed, we honor you. O seed, we make space for you. O seed, we water you. We repent for the cares and worries of this world that choke the seed. We are the generation who will not worry. We come out from the covering of worry. We come out from the covering of how good am I? We are innocent. We step into innocence. As you are, so are we. We come out now from the false covering of providing for ourselves. Poo-sha! Poo! Coming out from under the covering of our job, our pension, our resources, coming into the covering of the gimel, coming into the full brim. The full to the brim, Anothan, the full supply of your house. Coming into the unlimited economy. I have no needs. 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 You prepare the table. You make me lie down. You restore my soul. You're doing it, Jesus. You lead me in paths of righteousness. You restore my soul. You fill my cup. Death becomes just a shadow, and though I walk through it, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And now goodness and love follow me, and I'll dwell in your house forever as a multidimensional being, always seeing the face of the Father, and I'm being stalked by goodness and love. Now I have a new gravity. I have a new gravity around me. Hiya! Hiya! Body, where I've mistreated you, I repent right now. Forgive me, I've done rather badly at times. But I come under the record of blood and life and innocence, and you come with me under it. You break the law of sowing and reaping. For the lamb has been slain. And I come into the record. You know the path of life in Isaiah 16? It also means the bloody door. It's the Passover door. Where death passes over you as you walk through the door. Lord, we enter into not a moment of Passover, but perpetual Passover. That the blood is over me. The blood is above me. The blood is in me. The blood is around me. The blood is on me. I am the bloody door. I am the door that drips with blood that says death will pass over me. I am on the pathway of life, and even my body has hope. My body's hoping right now. My mind is hoping right now. My DNA is hoping. Open right now that you are made for life. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the house of his glory. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. Pooh! Pooh! Coming off now the false timeline, breaking off the false timeline that's been set up with the days. It says he'll give you length of days. In other words, you can break the timeline. Right now, we come off the days that are written on the timeline. We come off the days that is determined. We say that's a false covering, a false timeline. I'll be given length of days, perpetuity. Pow, pow, pow.